It's a common tale of modern politics. A candidate for president picks a theme song that seems perfect for their campaign, and then, oops, turns out the band or the musician totally disagrees. NPR's Tamara Keith decided to look into the history of this sort of thing.
Donald J. Trump.
Donald Trump entered the presidential race descending an escalator, a wave to the right, a thumbs up to the left, all to the tune of Neil Young's Rockin' in the Free World. But there was a problem. Trump's camp cleared it with the copyright holder. Neil Young, however, wasn't consulted. And based on the statement from his record label, he wasn't happy about it. This sort of thing happens all the time. But this is more than a story about a few politicians picking the wrong song. It's a story about the evolution of political campaigns and commercial advertising. So if Trump is looking for someone to blame, he might want to start with Michael Jackson. But first, you have to go all the way back to the 1830s and 40s. There you find the rise of what you might call the campaign jingle, brought on in part by a large expansion of the right to vote. Many of those new voters were uneducated or illiterate. And so University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire political scientist Eric Casper says the campaign song was born out of necessity.
How do you get your message across? Well, obviously, if you print something up,
like a brochure or position paper,
that might not resonate with a large percentage of these new voters. But songs certainly would be one way of reaching people and getting that message out there.
Oh, who has heard the great commotion, motion, motion all the country through?
This song is called Tippecanoe and Tyler Too. It's about William Henry Harrison, known as Tippecanoe, and his running mate, John Tyler.
Speed the ball for Tippecanoe and Tyler Too, for Tippecanoe and Tyler Too, and with them we'll beat Little Van.
Among some people, they claim that it sang Harrison into the presidency.
And that campaign, in 1840, cemented music as a staple of American presidential campaigns. Abraham Lincoln's campaign used an old Irish drinking song with new lyrics, renamed Lincoln and Liberty.
Hurrah for the choice of the nation, our chieftain so brave and so true. Then go for the great reformation, for Lincoln and Liberty too.
The song became hugely popular, in part because everyone already knew the melody. Fast forward 100 years, and the campaign songs sound very much like the commercial advertising jingles of the day.
Ike for president, Ike for president, Ike for president, Ike for president. You like Ike, I like Ike.
This is Dwight Eisenhower's campaign song. Casper says he plays the I Like Ike song for his college classes.
And they're like, well, yeah, that's a catchy tune, but it's very cheesy. It's very hokey. No one would use this today.
Why? Because advertising jingles are dead. And Michael Jackson helped kill them.
You're a whole new generation. You're loving what they do.
It's January 1984, and the King of Pop films a Pepsi commercial. The melody is Billie Jean, but the lyrics are all Pepsi. This was the beginning of the end of the traditional jingle, the beginning of the rise of popular music and advertising. Seth Godin is a marketing expert and blogger.
It happened because TV ads were getting shorter, competition for attention was going up, and pop music was at a peak.
That Michael Jackson ad was a huge success for Pepsi. Before long, companies ditched the rewritten lyrics and just started using popular songs and ads. And so did political campaigns. That year, Lee Greenwood released God Bless the USA, and it quickly became a hit.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
Ronald Reagan's campaign then used the song in a video, and it became a theme for his campaign. A couple of other candidates had used pop songs before, but after Reagan, they were here to stay. Godin says there's a simple reason campaigns and companies made the switch to popular music.
Because it's way cheaper to steal some of that good feeling from a pop song that already has earned the attention and love of the people that you're trying to connect with.
Just make sure you've also got the love of the people who made the song, because otherwise, you're going to get their attention. Tamara Keith, NPR News.